Morning. Today's daf and krisis is daf base. We start at the beginning of the mesechta. New mesechta, new topic. We're talking about the punishment of kares. First and foremost, what is this mesechta doing here in Seder Kachim? Sounds a little bit misplaced. Seder Kachim deals with karbanos. We've been discussing karbanos now for some time extensively. Think about the mesechtas that we covered: zvach, menachos, chul, and I know it's not karbanos, but it's still animals. Bechoros, temura. Okay, Erchin. Okay, so we've been dealing with karbanos, and so that's been our topic. And now our mesechta takes us a little bit off topic as it talks about the punishment of kares, which, as we're going to see in our Mishnah very clearly, is a wide range of isurim in the Torah. Most of them having nothing to do with karbanos is going to be subject to the kares penalty. So what's this mesechta doing here in Kachim? But the answer is actually pretty straightforward, because for any of the kares bearing punishments. Or let me say it better. For any of the kares bearing Yisurim, so if a person were to violate any of these Yisurim b'shogeg, so he'd have to bring a karban chatos. So there is obviously a relationship between the kares penalty, the kares punishment, and the chatos karban. So this obviously opens us up for, in order to understand when a person brings a karban chatos, so obviously you have to know when there is a kares penalty. So that is first and foremost. Okay, kares as a punishment. Kares sounds terrible. The kares person is going to be spiritually cut off. So it is not only sound terrible, it is terrible. But in terms of giving a more accurate description of what kares is, so obviously that'd be very difficult. So while we're here on this world, and we are very limited in terms of what we know and what we see, so it's obviously a very difficult enterprise to try to explain what exactly kares is and what it's going to look like. However, for a beginning of a discussion, I'm just going to do this briefly. So I'm going to present the Ramban right now, who gives just a very good overview in terms of what kares is and how to look at kares. The Ramban can be found in Vayikra Parshas Achrimos. It's Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Chav Tes. I'm going to be reading some of the Ramban this morning, as it's just really basic in terms of understanding what we're talking about. The Torah, a number of times, issues this punishment of kares. What we could say, even before we start with the Ramban, is the following. First of all, kares is not a punishment given by Beis Din. Beis Din has nothing to do with kares. Kares comes directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is a punishment for willfully violating one of the Isurim in the Torah. There are going to be a total of 36 Isurim in the Torah in which a person is going to be subject to kares. To be even a little bit clear, and to be a little bit more specific, 34 Isurim in the Torah and two positive commandments in the Torah, where if one violates any one of the 34 plus 2, so then he's going to be subject to the kares penalty. Kares, coming directly from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so what exactly does that mean? Now that you are subject to kares, what exactly does that mean? So now we can start with the Ramban on Chumash. V'nichrusu anafashos ha'osos mikarev amam. So just right now, there's nothing to look at unless you have a Ramban open, but certainly it's a worthwhile endeavor. So Lashon Rashi. So I'm sorry, Zaru Nichras V'yamav Nichrasim Lashon Rashi. So the Ramban starts off by quoting Rashi. Rashi says that kares manifests itself in that your days are going to be shortened, life expectancy is reduced, and Zaro Nichras, your children are going to be cut off as well. Not totally clear according to Rashi what that part means, but again, like I said in the beginning, sounds bad. Lashon Rashi. V'hineh b'krusus b'torah shlosh inyanim. So what the Ramban does is that he breaks up kares into three different manifestations, three categories of kares. You actually see this manifestation in the psukim themselves, as the Torah has very subtle distinctions between how the Torah lays out kares. For example, the Ramban writes, the Torah says, v'nichras ha'ishahu, the person is cut off. That's the ish being subject to kares. Hasheni she'nemra ben v'nichrasu ha'nefashos ha'osos. Sometimes, writes the Ramban, you see kares as it relates to the nefesh. And then thirdly, and sometimes you see a double language of kares. He kares, ti kares, hanefesh ahi. So the Ramban says, so now let's go over these three categories and explain these three categories. And regarding Yom Kippur, the Torah says that I will cause loss for the nefesh. So the Sifri already makes a comment. You know, we find kares throughout, and quite frankly, what is that? So kares is equivalent to loss. So now the Ramban goes on to explain. So here's how it's going to work out. Categorically, here are the three categories. Category number one. Somebody who eats chaylev or blood, v'hut tzadik, and the person is relatively a good person. He violated an iser. V'ruba zechuyos, aval gavra tavaso alav nechshav aveirahi. It's just that we have typhus, we have inclinations, we have a yetzahara, and so he stumbled over one particular avera. So yikarsu yamav v'yamos b'nu'urim kodim she'agil le'mezikna. So there, karis manifests itself as a shortening of the life expectancy. So that is how karis manifests itself, meaning it affects you only in terms of your body and specifically of your life expectancy. Ve'him shishim shana. Now, the Ramban says that means that you're going to prematurely die under the age of 60. Ve'inav shobihi kareis, but your nefesh is not going to be affected. Aval yeh lo chelek ba'olam ha'neshamos kefi ha'roi l'masa v'tovos, ki tzedek ha'yav yeh lo od chelek. You're going to be having a portion in olam haba. You were relatively a good person. You were generally a good person. So the kareis over there just simply means life expectancy is shortened. Lo olam haba hu lo olam sha'achari ha'tichya. Uvezeh amar v'nichras ha'ishahu. So that is where you're going to find the Torah saying that the ish is going to be cut off. Category number two, says the Ramban. Category number two is where the person is a sinner and he does so at a rate of frequency. And his sins exceed that of his zechuyos. So there the Ramban writes, so now karis not affects you, the ish, but you, the nefesh. And the Ramban says, "Magil nefesh achatas achar shitiparei menagofi hi nichrasa mechayei olam haneshamos." So there, karis is going to affect your neshama, and so that when you and your neshama and your body separate, so your neshama will be cut off from the source. Uvemechuyavei karis hazer ramis akasa v'nichrasnu hanefesh hahi melefanai, and that's what the Torah says, that the cutting off of the nefesh. Uksiva avaratias nefesh hahi mekervama. Now there the person may live a very long life because his karis doesn't manifest itself in shortened life expectancy, but rather it manifests itself in terms of his nefesh being cut off. He's going to live to a very old age. Psukim already speak to this idea that a person will live a long life even though he's a rasha. Okay, so that is category number two, where the karis affects your neshama. And then there's a third category of karis, writes the Ramban, and that affects both body and nefesh. When you see the double language of hikares tikares, which the Torah uses very sparingly, the Ramban's going to explain when the Torah uses such language. So there, it's going to be both guf and neshama that are going to be cut off. V'darshu hi kareis ba'olam hazeh, hi kareis l'olam haba. And that's the double language. L'marshu yamos ben no'ar v'chayso b'kdoshim shlo tichya nafsho b'tchiyas ha'meisim ve'ilo chayz l'olam haba. So that person is going to both have curtailed life expectancy, and the person also is going to have his nefesh being cut off. Ve'in kefal hi kareis hazeh nemar b'torah ela b'nyanei avodas galilim u'megadev, reserved only for idolatry and blasphemy. Blasphemy, which we're going to be talking about in our Masechta, those are the only two Isurim in which one is going to be experiencing this third category of Kares, where it's going to be the double Guf and Neshama. Akan Divrei HaRamban, there's actually more, the Ramban goes on, but just as a really good introduction, an excellent overview to Kares, so strongly encourage this is a primary source. With that stated, they translate to English. So with that stated, so let's now begin our Masechta. Our Masechta starts off, Shloshim Vishesh Krisus B'Torah. There are 36 Yisurim in the Torah that are subject to the Karis penalty. Now I'm going to go through these quickly, and also what I will do this morning, unfortunately, is I'm going to bypass a lot of the Rashi. The Rashi over here cites all the relevant psukim that tell us that there's going to be a Karis penalty for all of them. And so you see Rashi over here writes extensively. Rashi covers both columns of the daf. So Rashi gives us all the relevant psukim. So forgiveness, but I'm not going to go through the Rashi. It would just consume a lot of time. It's obviously extraordinarily important to know the psukim. But for our purposes right now, we're just going to familiarize ourselves with the Isurim. Of the 36, so almost half of them are going to be Arayos. And it's going to be interesting. When it comes to Arayos, we're going to subdivide every Erva in of itself. But something like Shabbos, for example, Shabbos, we're only going to come up as one category, Mechal Shabbos. So, and the Gemara is going to make this observation. Meaning, why by the Isurei Arayos do we explicate each one? And it comprises of the 36, it makes up 15 of the 36. And meanwhile, when it comes to Shabbos, Shabbos is just brought as one. Shabbos can be brought as 39, because there are 39 melachos on Shabbos. Okay, the Gemara is going to make that point. The Gemara is going to discuss it. There are 36 creases b'Torah. Abala aims someone who has relations with his mother, Valacious Av, or his father's wife, Ala Kala, or his daughter-in-law. Abala Zachar, homosexual relations. Vala Behemor, or bestiality. V'isha Mivia Behem Allah. A woman who has bestiality relations with an animal. They are counted as two separate Isurim. That is 1 through 6. Rashi points out over here, as is clear from the upcoming Gemara as well, in terms of organization of this information, why are these six mentioned first? It's not following sequencing of the Torah, but rather these six are mentioned first because these six not only have the Kari's penalty, but also if they're witnesses and there's a warning, so the first six also are subject to capital punishment. So that's why these six are mentioned first. Number seven, Abala Isha Ubita, someone has relations with a woman and her daughter. Ve'eshes Ish, adultery. Habal Achosa, relations with one sister. Va'achos Aviv, relations to a father's sister, otherwise known as your aunt. Al Achos Imo, also an aunt, but your mother's sister. Al Achos Ishto, the sister of your wife. Al Eshes Achiv, the wife of your brother. Al Eshes Achi Aviv, that is your uncle's wife, your father's brother's wife. Now, the next one, keep in the parentheses, as the Gemara will discuss, the Eshes Achi Imo, that is also your uncle's wife, but it's your mother's brother. That's an Issur D'Rabbanan, Issur D'Oraisa. That will be discussed later on. Al Hanida, having relations with a woman who is a Nida, could be your own wife. And that's an Issur Kares. Okay, so those are the first 15. Those first 15 are subject to the Kares penalty, and they all form the Isurei Arayos. So 15 Arayos of the 36. Number 16, HaMegadev, someone who blasphemes, Ovid Avodas Kochavim, commits idolatry. HaNosim Mizar LaMolech, or practices the right over here, R-I-T-E, practices the right of Molech, taking his child and passing his child through the fire. Not totally clear whether or not the child is going to die or not going to die. It's just simply a ritual. The Gemara, I think the Gemara is in Sanhedrin. But anyway, it's whatever. It's an Isser in the Torah. It's Kari's bearing. Uba'al Ov, practicing Ba'al Ov. It's a form of necromancy. The Gemara is going to be discussing it. Mechal Shabbos, the violation of Shabbos. Tamisha Achol Kodesh, a person who is in a state of Tumah and eats Karban. V'haba el hamikdash tameh, or going into the Beis HaMikdash while being tameh. V'haochel chelev, a person who eats the forbidden fats of an animal. V'dam, or the blood of an animal. V'nosar upigol, or eats disqualified carbon. Either the disqualification is nosar, was left beyond the prescribed time, or pigol, the kohen, while doing the avoda, has a machshavas pigol, of that he's going to be consuming the carbon chutzus manu chutzum kamo. Eating that pigol karban is subject to kares. Hashochid umala bechutz. These are numbers now 27, 28. Shechting a karban or offering a karban outside of the area of the Beis HaMikdash. Those are two isurim that are subject to kares. Number 29. Ha'ochel chametz bePesach, eating chametz on Pesach. 30. Ha'ochel v'osim malach b'yom ha'kippurim. That's 30 and 31. Eating on Yom Kippur or doing one of the malachas on Yom Kippur, subject to kares. Number 32, mefatem es hashemen. There is a shemen amishka, the oil that is used to anoint the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. This oil is infused with spices. We will be discussing this in our masechta. If you or I were to make a compound of these spices with the same specifics, with the same ingredients that are used for the original shemen amishka, that is going to be a kares penalty. Hamifatem esakatar, same thing with the incense that's burned in the Beis HaMikdash on a daily basis. So if you and I were to make this compound, So we also would be subject to kares. Hasachas Hashem and Amishcha. Somebody who actually anoints with the Shemen HaMishcha, somebody, something that you should not have obviously been anointed, that also is Karis penalty. So that is now covering the 34 Isurim in the Torah where it is subject to Karis. There are two more, Pesach V'Amila, Mitzvah Seseh. So there are two positive commandments where failure to do these positive commandments will result in Karis. Now, Karban Pesach is obviously very easy to explain how one could fail to bring the Karban Pesach because it's calendaric. Comes up on the 14th day of Nisan, where we have an obligation to bring the Karban Pesach, and if we fail to do so, so then we're subject to Karis. Yes, there is an extensive discussion of, isn't there a makeup date? The answer is yes, there is a makeup date. Is Karis when you pass the first one, when you pass both? The Gemara elsewhere discusses that. Gemara and Pesachim discusses that extensively. In the meantime, however, we could, for our purposes today, we could just say it simply. If you don't bring the Karban Pesach, one is subject to the Karis penalty. Obviously, without the Beis HaMikdash, we don't have the opportunity, obviously. But that is positive commandment number one. What about Mila? The mitzvah of Mila, failure to do the mitzvah of Mila, is subject to the Karis penalty. Now, as far as we all know, so the mitzvah of Mila is primarily put upon our father's responsibility, meaning it's our father's responsibility to give us a Mila. But his failure to do so, that, interestingly enough, does not result in Karis. Not for him, not for you. In other words, you're right at that point an infant. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you're not going to be subject to karis. And your father, even though he is obligated, min ha-Torah, right, the Gemara Kedushin spells this out. He's obligated in min ha-Torah to give you a mila, but nevertheless, if he doesn't do so, he's not subject to karis. He just, it's a bittel aseh. He's just neglecting a positive commandment. Now, our Mishnah teaches us that when you become an adult and you were not given a mila, now you're going to be subject to karis. At what point exactly? So this is a classic machlokus between the Rambam and the Ravid, exactly when one is going to be subject to karis for not getting the mila. Rambam's position is really interesting and requires a lot of thought. The Rambam says that a person is going to be subject to karis for not getting a bris mila. When? So when he is no longer able to do so, i.e. he's dead. Now, the conundrum of the Rambam always is that, well, if you're dead, so then what does that mean that you're now going to be subject to karis? So it's... right, like I said, the Rambam's position requires definitely a lot of thought. The Ravid's position, a little bit easier to hear. The Ravid says that you're subject to karis the moment you have the opportunity to do so and you don't do so. I.e., when you turn 13 years of age and you don't have a bris mila, so now you're on the docket for karis. Now, obviously, you could remove the situation by getting the bris mila, but the Ravid says it comes about once you become a bar chiyuv, as someone who's responsible. Okay, al elu. Now, after having gone through all 36 of the Isurim in the Torah, I say the word Isurim recognizing that the last two are not Isurim. The last two are mitzvos, but just easy way to describe it. There are 36 Isurim in the Torah where one is going to be subject to Karis. Al Elu, Chayav Nazdona Karis, if one violates them willfully, so he's subject to Karis. Ve'al Shigagaso Chatas. Now, if he's shogig in any one of these activities, now he's going to be bringing a Karban Chatas. Okay, a really important discussion. Rashi spends a lot of time with this over here. I'll say it succinctly. What does shogig mean? So I know we've gone over this many times, but you know today's a good day to go over this as well. Shogig means you knew exactly what you were doing. You were just not fully aware of all the circumstances. So for example, you're having relations with a woman. You thought it was your wife. It turns out to be another woman. Now, obviously, you should have been much more careful, right? That was obviously negligence on your part for just not being careful. But in other words, you didn't know you were violating an Isser, so that falls under the category of shogeg. Even though you knew what you were doing, you knew you were engaged in a particular act, but you just simply didn't know all the circumstances revolving the situation. You were not fully aware of all the information around. A person violates Shabbos thinking that it was Sunday. He wakes up in the morning, he forgets it's Shabbos, he thinks it's Sunday. And he makes himself breakfast, and he cooks. So that's also an example of shogeg, meaning he knows exactly what he's doing. I'm cooking, right? What are you doing? I'm making breakfast. So but he forgot that today was Shabbos. He thought today was Sunday. That's another example of shogeg. Okay. Other possibilities of shogeg is that he's unaware of the Isser, which we're going to be talking about later on. Is that considered shogeg, being unaware of the Isser? But anyway, but for our purposes right now, it's simple to describe shogeg as just simply not being fully aware of what you're doing, just not being fully aware of all the information that is around you. Okay, that is shogeg. So if anyone violates any of these isurim, b'shogeg, so he has to bring a karban chatas. But now that we understand shogeg much better, you understand the karban chatas, meaning shogeg is not, you know, that I did something totally I was totally blindsided, meaning I didn't know what I was doing. No, you knew exactly what you were doing. You just should have been more aware. So, and because for failure to be more aware, so that's why you bring a Karban Chatos. Now, for these Yisurim in the Torah, if let's say you possibly violated the Isser, the classic example is Chalev. There is a piece of Chalev in front of you, but actually there are two pieces in front of you. One's Chalev and the other is Shuman. You ate one of the two pieces and you walked away forgetting which piece you ate, and you go back and the other piece is gone. So now this is a suffix on an Isser Kares. What do you bring? So the Torah gives a special carbon. It's called the Hashem Talui. We will be discussing the Hashem Talui in our Masechta in detail. Stay tuned. Now, for the Isurim that we have listed here, for Shogeg, for inadvertent violation of all these Isurim, one brings the carbon chatas, with notable exceptions to eating carbon while being Tamei, or going into the base of Mikdash while being Tamei. For those Isurim, it's not a carbon chatas, but rather Olav Yored. What's Olav Yored? It's an adjustable carbon that's mentioned at the end of Parshas Vayikra, where there, for particular Isurim, the Torah gives an adjustable carbon chatas. It's called the carbon Olav Yored. So because the Torah outlines that it's a special carbon for Tumas Mikdash VeKadashav, so therefore it's not a carbon chatas, it's just carbon Olav Yored. Divrei Rebbe Meir VeChachamim Omrim Afa Megadev. Now, according to Rebbe Meir, those are the only two exceptions. The other 32 Isurim of our Mishnah are going to be subject to the chatas karban if done b'shogeg. The chachamim exclude one more from the karban chatas. The chachamim exclude the megadev. Shenemar Torah achas yalachem laoseh b'shkaga. Yatz megadev shein oseh masa. And the reason why megadev is excluded is because it does not involve an action. Megadev is blasphemy. You're using your mouth. Now, what exactly is megadev? So we're going to be discussing that a little bit later on. Blasphemy, the simplest explanation is that you are Mevarch Hashem. I say that euphemistically. You say not nice things about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Using Shem Hashem. But there are other possibilities in terms of what exactly Megadev means. We will explore that later on. In the meantime, however, it's only speech. It's not an action. So therefore, it's excluded from the Karban Chatas. Okay. No. It's not excluded from Kares.
Because it's a, like you're saying, because it's a, just a verbal declaration, you shouldn't do a Karban Chata, so you shouldn't even get Kares.
Yeah, but the Torah says you get Kares. Right. In other words, that's the value of having gone through all the Rashis, which I haven't done here. That's the value of going through all the Rashis. The Torah says you get Kares. Right.
So some of the examples you're given are kind of Misa we know from elsewhere.
Right.
So does Kares fall outside the rubric of Kimei Rav Minei?
Yes. The Gemara Ksuvos, excellent question. The Gemara Ksuvos discusses the relationship between Kares and Kimlei. The accepted position, there are dissenting viewpoints, but the accepted position is that Kares does not play into Kimlei B'Derabi Minei. Kimlei B'Derabi Minei is basically a cap on Beis Din. Beis Din can only give out one punishment, not two punishments. And so Beis Din has a cap. But because Kares is coming directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the person, so therefore is excluded from Kimlei. That's the accepted viewpoint. There are, to be fair, there are dissenting viewpoints. Okay. We are starting with the Gemara 1, Beis Amud Beis. And so now, having gone through the Mishnah and through all the Yisurim that are subject to Kares, so now, number talk. Our Mishnah gave us 36 Yisurim. But the Mishnah actually telegraphed the punch. The Mishnah started off, Shloshim v'sheish krisus b'Torah. There are 36 Yisurim in the Torah that are subject to Kares. And then it listed all 36. So you could do which I happen to really like doing, and that is you can actually number them inside, and you could see there are 36. So the Mishnah doesn't have to give us a number when we are pretty competent and we know how to count. And so when the Mishnah is giving us a number, the Mishnah obviously is trying to teach us something by giving us this number. And what exactly is it coming to teach us? So that's where the Gemara begins the discussion. Minyana lama li. Why the number? Why 36? So Amar Rav Yochanan Shimasim Kulam Balamachar Chayav Kol Achas V'Achas. To tell us that if a person were to violate all of them, he'd still be subject to every single one of them individually. Now, over here, we're talking about multiple punishments. Now, it's interesting. When we're talking about multiple kares, so it's a funny discussion. How many times can a Kadosh Baruch Hu cut you off? And now I'm going to cut you off, and now you're going to be cut off a second time. And this time it's going to be really even worse. So probably over here, and when I say probably, I could say it's stronger, we're talking not about the Kares penalty, but we're talking rather about the Chatas Karban. The Chatas Karban is obviously quantifiable. one carbon, two carbonos. So over here, probably we're saying it in relationship to the chatos carbon. Of course, the challenge with that is that of the isurim that are mentioned in the Mishnah, not all of them are subject to a carbon chatos, as we just learned at the end of the Mishnah. Two of them are excluded from the carbon chatos, and according to the Chachamim, three of them are excluded from the carbon chatos. And on top of that, also, at the end of the Mishnah, there are two mitzvah seseh, there are two positive commandments. And failure to do them, obviously, is not going to be subject to the carbon chatos. So yes, it's a little bit challenging to say that if our Gemara here is talking about karbanos, so not every one of the 36 in our Mishnah is subject to karbanos. Okay. Visu haditnan. And here we go. So what we're going to do now is we're going to take a tour of Mishnayos Rav Shas, where the Mishnah gives us a number, but we don't need the Mishnah to give us a number because we can count on our own. And so obviously by the Mishnah giving us a number, the Mishnah wants to tell us that that number is important. There's significance to that number. What's the significance? So let's turn to the Mishnah in Shabbos, 7th Perek, Avos Malachos, Memchas, or Achas. There are 39 Malachos, Minyan Alamali. Why does the Mishnah need to teach us the number? We can count. So Shi'im Asim Kulam Elam Achas said that if they are done in one state of unawareness, a person violates all the Isurim on Shabbos. Here it's actually easy to construct a scenario. He wakes up, he thinks it's Sunday, and so therefore, while thinking it's Sunday, he violates all the malachos on Shabbos. So chayav kol achas v'achas, he'd be violating all 39 malachos, and he'd have to bring a carbon chatzos for all 39. Suhad nan, the Gemara gives another Mishnah, da'al mechusre kapara, there are four people that are bringing a carbon, not for a kapara purpose, but rather so that they can eat carbonos and go into the Beis HaMikdash. There are four. This Mishnah comes up later in the Masechta. And so the Gemara wants to know, why does the Mishnah have to tell us four when the Mishnah is going to then list all four? Minyan alamali, lafukim de Rebbe Lozman Yaakov, damar, hey, have. Rebbe Lozman Yaakov does not count the number as four, but rather he counts it as five. And the Mishnah wants to make sure that we know that we are excluding his position. What is the opinion of Rebbe Lozman Yaakov? Detanya Rebbe Lozman Yaakov Omer, ger mechusre kapara ad sheyizrog dam alav. A ger, a convert. So he cannot go into the Beis HaMikdash, he can't eat karbanos until he himself brings karbanos. A ger brings karbanos. Now, of course, we never heard of such a thing because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Had we had a Beis HaMikdash, we'd be hearing of such a thing. But obviously, it's not ma'akev the gerus, meaning, obviously, we accept gerim even though they do not bring a karban. But nevertheless, so when there's a Beis HaMikdash and the person converts, so he can't go into the Beis HaMikdash nor eat karbanos until he brings their karbanos. So Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov includes him in the list of Mechusrei Kapara, and so therefore he comes up to the number five. The Mishnah wants to tell us that the Mishnah does not accept that as one of them. That's why the Mishnah says four. Achitani Dalit. That's why it says four. Suha Dinan, the Gemara goes over another Mishnah. Dal Meviyam Al Azadon Kishkaga. There are four Isurim in the Torah where a person brings a carbon chatas even for willful violation. So, and the Mishnah goes through the four, but the Mishnah telegraphs and says that there are going to be four. So Minyan Alamali, why mention the number? La Fukim Ed Rabbi Shimon Detanya Rabbi Shimon Omer Shivos Habigadon Lo Nitan Zdona LeKapara. Ahachi Tana Dalit. Well, the opinion of Rabbi Shimon is that there are not four, but rather there are three. Because Shvuos HaPikadon, the oath that is made by the custodian, who is going to deny having being given the item, so according to Rabbi Shimon, the carbon is only for Shogeg, not for Mazid. So he takes one out. So the Mishnah wants to tell us that we don't accept the position of Rabbi Shimon, but rather one is going to bring a carbon even for willful violation. Suha Denan, the Gemara goes over another Mishnah, Hemevin Carbon Echad Alaver Sarbe. Five are going to be bringing a carbon, one carbon, for multiple violations. Now, generally, the rule is it's one carbon per violation. But sometimes you're going to be bringing one carbon for multiple violations. When I say sometimes, there are going to be five circumstances. This, too, comes up later in our Masechta. So, Minyan Alamali, why tell us that there are going to be five circumstances when the Mishnah then lists the five circumstances and we can count? Mishum de Kabbalah Mishnah Sefer, because of the end of the Mishnah, Nazir, in Nitma Tumas Harbe, so a Nazir who becomes Tame multiple times. So, even though there are multiple counts of becoming Tame, the Nazir at the conclusion only needs to bring one series of Karbanos. As we all know, when you're a Nazir, so you have to successfully count your Naziris. If you don't specify how long you're going to be a Nazir for, so it's 30 days. You have to successfully count 30 days. At the end of 30 days, you bring your standard carbon nazirus for its conclusion, three carbonos in total. However, if you become tameh, so a couple of things happen. So you have to, all the days that you counted, knocked off, done. And on top of that, you're going to have to become tahor. At the conclusion of your tahara, you're going to have to bring a series of karbanos, basically excusing yourself for becoming tamei while being a nazir. And then you're going to restart your nazir's count again. Good. What we are going to be debating in our Gemara right now is, when do you get to restart your count of nazirs? I'll give you two options. It's either going to be on day 7 of the purification process, or it's going to be on day 8. The Torah is not super clear about this point. It's a subject to a machlokes atanayim. And so the Gemara now is pointing out that we are talking about multiple counts of being tamei. It really only works for one shita. We'll explain. The Gemara is going to explain. So, nazir im nitma tumas harbe umishkachala kegon. The itme bishvi v'chazav nitma bishvi. So the Gemara says, how can you be subject to multiple counts of becoming tamei as a nazir? So what happens is that you established yourself to be a nazir. You committed yourself to being a nazir. Now, sometime in the interim of your counting, you become tamei. You go through the tahara process. It's day 7. On day 7, so you become tamei again. And then repeat. Rinse, repeat. And this happens again and again. So this is multiple infractions of your becoming tamei. And at the conclusion of it all, you bring one carbon, one series of carbons.
Each time with knowledge or without knowledge?
It doesn't matter. For this purpose, it doesn't matter. Umani Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehudi Damar Nizirus de Tahara Min Shvihu de Chayel Allah. But this only works out, meaning the qualification of this being called multiple infractions only works out according to the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because he says that when you get a chance to start counting your Nizirus anew on day 7, the Itomer Rebbe he, because if we subscribe to the position of Rebbe Kevin, the Nazirus Tatara Chmini, Lo Chayla Allah, because Rebbe says that you don't get to start counting until day 8. So that means that according to Rebbe, if you become Tame on day 7, so you have not yet started your Nazirus count anew. You can't call that multiple infractions because basically it's one continuum of Tumah. So if you become Tame on day 7, so according to Rebbe, that's not a second act of becoming Tamei. It's just a continuation of your original Tuma. So Hechi Mishkachala, and the Gemara is going to make exactly this point. Ida nitma bezayin v'chazav v'nitma bezayin kula chada Tuma arechtehi. It's just one long continuum of Tuma. V'ini nitma beches. Now what's the other alternative? You become Tamei on day 8, v'chazav v'nitma beches, kevin di yatsa b'sharu yalavi baz karban chayva kol achas v'achas. Well, under those circumstances, you won't get away with just bringing one set of karbanos. Because since you woke up on day 8 with the obligation now to bring your karbanos, if you then become tamei on day 8, so then the next time you become tahor, you're going to have to bring another series of karbanos. So the only way that we can get to the sweet spot of having multiple violations of tumas nazir and only bringing one series of karbanos only works according to the opinion of Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. El Shemamina, Rav Yosef Rav Yehudihi. So therefore, this only works to the position of Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. So that's why the Mishnah had enumerated the number 5 to tell us that you only get here only by subscribing to one viewpoint. And then the Gemara, as long as we're here, the Gemara just goes over the Machlokas, my Rebbe and my Rebbe Yosef Rav Yehuda, the Tanya. Gemara quotes the Braisa, V'kideh shes rosho b'yamahu. So he sanctifies his head on that day. So the Torah now is using a pronoun, and that's going to be where the ambiguity begins. Meaning so that he gets to start counting anew on that day. Which day are we talking about? Machlokas HaTanayim. Bayom HaBa Karbanosav Devi Rebbe, according to Rebbe, the day you bring your Karbanos, which is on day 8, and Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Yom Taglachso, on the day in which you shave your head. That's the conclusion of his Tahara, which is day 7. Okay, so that's where the ambiguity begins. Suad Adnan, the Gemara goes over another Mishnah, Hemivin Karban Olav Yoreh, the 5 times where a person is going to be bringing the adjustable Karban Chatos, the Olav Yoreh. And so the Mishnah over there gives us a number, Minyan Alamali, Mishum Diktani Seifa. So it's not because there's any argument in terms of what the 5 are. We know what the 5 are. In fact, the Torah tells us what the 5 are. It just happens to be that there's a subsequent machlokis, which the Mishnah makes reference to. And that's the following. Let's say, right, for the carbon olav yared, so the adjustable carbon, so is going to be, let's say, we just learned in the Mishnah. Tumas miktash v'kadashav. You eat carbon while in a state of tumah. Okay, so for you, you don't bring the standard carbon chatos, you bring the adjustable carbon. Now, the adjustable carbon is going to be, depending on your economic status. If you are an usher, so you bring an animal. If you are a dal, if you're poor, so you bring birds. If you are a dali dalos, if you're really poor, you bring a meal offering, a mincha. Now, let's say you are the king, violating any one of these isurim, are you going to be giving the adjustable carbon chatas? Or what's the alternative? You're the king. You're not poor. And you're not going to be poor. The king is simply not poor. So maybe for him, you bring the standard carbon chatas. That is a machlokus. So, the Tani Sefer, it says at the end of the Mishnah, Nosika Yotzebehem, so it says that the king is also going to be bringing an adjustable carbon if he violates any one of these isurim. So, Tani, hey, lafuke midde Rebbe Eliezer. So the reason why the Mishnah wants to tell us five is to exclude from that position. Damanasi may be Seir, because he's of the opinion that the Nasi brings a Seir. Suha Dinan, the Gemara goes over another Mishnah, Dalat Avos Nezik, and there are four categories of damages. So, Minyan Alamali, why give me the number four? We can count. First Mishnah, Baba Kama. Lafuke mid Rabbi Yoshia Damar Yud Gimel Avos Nezik and Hain. To exclude the position of Rabbi Yoshia, who says that there are 13 categories. Ula Rabbi Yoshia Minyan Alamali. Now, according to Rabbi Yoshia, why give me the number 13? I can count his 13 categories. Lafuke mid Rabbi Chia Damar Chavdal Avos Nezik. Because Rabbi Chia says that there are 24. The Gemara is in the beginning of Baba Kama, enumerate the 13 of Rav Oshia, and the 24 Rabbi Chia. Ula Rabbi Chia minyan alamali. Now, according to Rabbi Chia, why give me the number 24? Lafuke masur mefagel. Because even his extensive list of 24 does exclude some, notably excludes the masur, somebody who tattles on his friend to the government and on his friend's property to the government, where the government now comes and takes that person's property. So that's what's called a moser. The Gemara at the end of Baba Kama, in the 10th parak, discusses that extensively. And mifagel, the Kohen who does the quote-unquote act of pigel. Now, pigel is not an act. Pigel is just simply a sentence, right? That I plan on eating this beyond the prescribed time. So these two actions are not actions. Being a moser and being a mifagel are not actions, and that's why they are not going to be subject to nezek. What they did is damaging, obviously, but in other words, but they are not a mazik because that is not an action. Okay, they are going to be chayav bidei shamayim, right? If they want to do the right thing, they're going to pay for the losses that they incurred, but Beis Din cannot take them to task for what they did. Amar mar shimasim kulam ba'alam achad. Did I skip a little bit? I must have. So amar mar. No, I'm good. Sorry. We're right in the middle of Beis Amid Beis. Amar mar shimasim kulam ba'alam achad chayav kol achas v'achas. Let's go back now. So we just did a nice tour of many Mishnahs throughout Shas, in which one is going to be subject to We just went through many Mishnahs and Shas where the Mishnah gives us a number, and the purpose of the Mishnah giving these numbers is because they are specific to teach us a particular exclusion. Five over here to exclude his position, four over here to make sure that we don't go like him, etc., etc. Okay. We come back now to our Mishnah and we review what we learned at the beginning of the Gemara. Amar mar shimasim kulam ba'alamecha chayav kol achas va'achas. You're going to be chayav for each one individually. That's why our Mishnah gave us the number 36 to tell us that you're going to be chayav for each one individually. Bishlamer patur legamrei lamatzis amar dichsiv ki kol asher yaseh mikol hatovosa elav nichrasu. Now, we're going to stay over here specific to the topic of arayos. How many arayos are there in the Mishnah? 15. We just learned together that for the person who commits all 15, he's going to have to bring, and he does all 15 b'shogeg, he's going to have to bring 15 karbanos. To which the Gemara says, why don't we make the following suggestion? Ela ema avar chada nischayev chada. Avar kula ba'alam echad, eno chayev ela achas. Well, look, if the person violated one, he'll bring one karban chatas, and let's say the person violated multiple, let's say he did all 15 b'shogeg, maybe he should only bring one karban chatas. That's the Gemara's suggestion. And the suggestion is predicated on the fact that it's all one Avera, meaning, yes, the Torah specifies each one in particular, but it's Irva, it's Arayos. So maybe they're just simply multiple infractions of the same Avera. Again, we're talking about B'shogeg, so that's why the Gemara is suggesting that one Karban Chatas. It'd be similar to eating blood and then repeating the act all in one state of unawareness. That's what the Gemara is suggesting. Am Rav Yochanan Lekach Yatzakaris Ba'achoso Lechalek. Well, the Torah, it's true at the end of Parashas Arayos, the Torah says Karis for everything, but also the Torah actually mentions Karis specific to Achosa, to one sister. So, and the reason why is because the Torah wants to tell us that each Arayos is treated independently. Maskav Rabbi Barbayim, Achoso Deparikra Nichayev Chadala, Vekulon De Balamechalo Nichayev Elachas. So the Gemara makes the following suggestion. Well, why don't we say that Kari is for one sister, where it means that if one has relations with one sister, is Bishogeg, so that's Echatas. And then for all the other Arayos, maybe they can be collected into one general category of Arayos, and maybe it's one carbon chatos for all the other Arayos. So the Gemara says, really, we're going to suggest that? We should not suggest that. And I'll tell you why. Alarabibi barabai mi leiflech hadad etanya. The Gemara says, what about the midos of Rabbi Yishmael, the Yud Gimel midos shatar nejeshes bahem? And one of them is, called Avashar b'chlav yatsam neklal, alamin alamin alatsmo yatsa, alamin alakal kula yatsa. So the rule is that when the Torah gives us a category, and then within the category tells us a rule of one of the items, that rule is not specific to that one particular item, but it covers everyone in the category. I'll give you an example. Ketzad. Ha-nefesh asher tocha basar, a person who eats carbon while in a state of tumah. Now the Torah tells us that regarding not all the carbonos, specific to shlamim. V'alo shlamim b'chlal, kol ha-kadoshim hayu. Lama yatsu lahakish aleihem, ha-shlamim shein kachim is be'ach, v'chayavan aleihem, af kol shein kachim is be'ach, chayavan aleihem, yatsu kachim b'degabayas. So, if a person eats any of the carbonos while in a state of tumah, one is going to be subject to the penalty. This is the rule of kol davar shehaya b'chlal, v'yatsa min haklal. So when the Torah gives me a particular halacha to one in the category, it means it applies to all in the category. So Amalei Rabibi Bar Minei. So Rabibi says, wait one second. Even within that, in other words, that's a rule. It's one that you give me Midrash Torah and Joshua's Bahem. It is what shapes the halacha. I grant you that. But Lami Amar Tasim Yatsu Kach Bedek Abayis. But you have to be part of the category. And in fact, the example that you just gave, if a person's tummy eats Kach Bedek Abayis, so there, it's not going to be subject to kares, won't be subject to karbanos, because kache b'dekabayis is outside of the category. The category is kache mizbeach. So hachanami, ma'achosum yuchara shi'i erva ve'in laheter b'chai osra, afko she'in laheter b'chai osra, yatsa eishes ish, shi'ish laheter b'chai bala. So granted that the Torah does spell out kares when it comes to one sister, but then that means that you have to be in the category of one sister. Aishas Ish is not in the category of one sister. Why? Because one sister is going to be Usr. She is going to be an Erva. She will always be an Erva. However, when it comes to a married woman, she currently is an Erva. But either she becomes widowed or she is divorced, she is no longer an Erva to you. So it's a different category of Arayus. So the Gemara says, even with your rule, it doesn't cover all the Arayus. I'm Rav Yonah, Vitem Rav Huna, Bered Rav Yeshua, Amakra, Ki Kol Asher Yaseh, Mikol HaToevos, Hukshu kol arayis kulan la'acho, so ma'achosu chayav nala bifnei atzma, afkol chayav nala bifnei atzma. To which the Gemara's response is, that's an excellent point, but we have a hekesh. At the end of Parsha of Arayis, the Torah says, anyone who does all of these actions, taking all the Arayis and pooling them together, so that means that whatever applies to one of them will apply to all of them. We have a hekesh. Ula Rav Yitzchak damar chayve krisus bechlal hayu. Now the Gemara says, let's take Rav Yitzchak's position into consideration. He says that Chayvei Krisus was included in the klal. Lama yatsa karis ba'achosa? Why then does the Torah have to go out and specify karis to one sister? Le'dona b'karis v'lo b'makos. So he says because for one sister it's karis, but there is no makos. Now this is the position of Rav Yitzchak. We happen not to subscribe to his position, meaning his position is articulated in the third parak of makos. We don't subscribe to his position, but that doesn't matter right now. Meaning the question is, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, he now has this pasuk dedicated for another limud. So how does he know what we know? That the karis penalty is going to be individualized for every one of the arayos. So lechalek minale nafkale mi ve'el isha b'nida tumasa lo sikrav. So lechalek. So I'll call isha v'isha. So the Torah is, so the Gemara says it's learned from nida, where the Torah by nida tells us that for one who has relations with a nida, he's going to be subject to karis. That's going to be the one that tells us the individualization of each of the arayos. So why don't the Chachamim also make that same conclusion? And Achinami, the Gemara says, you know what? I give you that. Meaning we originally presented it from Achoso. The Gemara now says it's not from Achoso, but rather it's from Nida. So then what are we learning from Karis of Achoso? So the Gemara says to differentiate between sisters. There is your sister, there's your father's sister, there's your mother's sister. So the Gemara says, I need differentiation. Hani lamalu lechalak harishemus mechlakim v'ari gufim mechlakim. What do you mean? Those are separate isurim, separate psukim in the Torah, and on top of that, those are different women. So ela im lechalak alachos v'shi achos aviv v'shi achos imo. So the Gemara says, what it's coming to do is tell us that if a man has relations with a woman who is your sister, and your father's sister, and your mother's sister. Now, whenever dealing with these scenarios, so obviously it is complex. How can a woman be your sister, and your father's sister, and your mother's sister? For our purposes right now, I'll just simply say it's possible. Now, in order to get, that's all I'm going to say right now. In order to get there, so numerous Isurim have to be violated in order to get to that point in time. We could right now construct the scenario. There is, by the way, an excellent pictorial book that goes over all these scenarios. I have it at home. When learning Yavamos, it is essential. Anyway, for our purposes right now, it's possible. So you have a woman now who is your sister and your father's sister and your mother's sister, and you have relations with her inadvertently. I know. It's unlikely, wow. To say the least. So the but nevertheless, the point is that because she represents three separate Isurim, so therefore it's going to differentiate to three separate Chatos. That's the entire point. Okay. We'll pause over here. We're right up to the end of the Daf Rabbi Yitzchak, and we'll leave that over for tomorrow. Okay, so we opened up with our first Mishnah increases, going over the 36 Isurim in the Torah, in which one is going to be subject to the Karis penalty. We spoke out the Ramban this morning, three different categories of Kares. And we went over the Gemara, Minyana Lamali. Why the number 36? What do we learn from that? And as long as we were there, we went over many of the Mishnayos throughout Shas, in which the number is given to us, even though we know how to count. Why do that? We went over that. And then the Gemara's discussion about the various differentiations of the Isurim, specifically to Arayos.